Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with light workers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests, and I am glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy, and that means that no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found us, you are here for a reason. And I hope that something in the next hour opens a door for you, shines some light, and helps you move forward. Now, would you like a life that is full of more joy, more abundance, more peace of mind? I certainly would. Well, on a day when she was feeling frustrated and angry and stressed, my guest today, Deborah Engel, decided to ask a higher power for help. And when she did, she heard six simple words. And soon after that, remarkable changes began to take place in her life. Deborah Engel's here today to share with us some simple, powerful tools to help us create more peace, more abundance, more joy in our lives. So are you ready to meet her? Deborah Landwehr Engel is the author of The Only Little Prayer You Need, The Shortest Route to a Life of Joy, Abundance, and Peace of Mind. That's a brand new book with the foreword by the Dalai Lama, huh? So you know we've got good stuff going on here. Deborah is the co-founder and facilitator of Tending Your Inner Garden, which is a program of creativity and personal growth for women. In addition, she teaches classes in A Course in Miracles and offers mentoring in writing, publishing, and life skills. You can find out a lot more about Deborah and her work at DeborahEngel.com. Deb, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you so much, Karen. I'm really glad to be here.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to have you here. Let's start by finding out a little bit about who you are, what your journey's like, what brought you to this place on your path?
Well, I live in Iowa, so right in the heartland of the U.S., and grew up with, you know, just kind of one of the most stable childhoods you could possibly imagine. I was really fortunate that way. And from a very early age, had an interest in writing. I can remember back, even in junior high, my best friend lived across the street from me, and she loved writing, too, so we would make newspapers and magazines for each other and run them across the street to each other. and they were filled with all sorts of interesting tidbits, like who we had a crush on and what our geometry teacher had done that day. So the writing part of this has just really been a lifelong joy and a lifelong journey. And then along the way, I've also had just kind of a growing interest in spirituality, as it's something that I think was really embedded by my parents. But I think it's just kind of taken root and blossomed the further I've gone in life. And over the past, about 30 years, I'd say, I got divorced back about 30 years ago. And about that time, really started an interest in studying A Course in Miracles, learning more about myself, really delving deeper into that inner journey. And over those years, have become a teacher of A Course in Miracles, developed the Tending Your Inner Garden program that you mentioned, which is a program of spirituality and personal growth for women. And I feel like all of those things, you know, just like they do, everything in our life contributes to who we are and leads us to the moment, you know, whatever moment we're in. And I feel like everything that I've experienced in life really brought me to that point where the only little prayer you need showed up and needed to be expressed and shared with the world.
There sometimes is that idea that people who embrace their spiritual journey and embrace it publicly as teachers and authors, that we are enlightened and we're perfect and nothing ever goes wrong and we never make mistakes and it all goes really well all the time. So if you're comfortable, can you share the story of the day that you asked for help? Because as I read the book, I really resonated with that. I've had that day. I understand.
It's that awful, no good, very bad day,
yes,
that I think all of us have, right? And, you know, I think you make such a good point that there is that expectation sometimes that if we are on the spiritual journey and we're really faithful students to it, that we won't ever be angry or upset or frustrated again. And I will tell you that on January 11th, 2013, as I talk about in the book, that was this really bad day for me, despite all of the years of spiritual study that I'd been involved in and even teaching to other people. Still, I found myself in this kind of a mud pit of frustration and anger. I'd had some stresses with work. I'd made some mistakes with a client, a major client. I was really beating myself up for that. And on top of that, I was experiencing a lot of frustration over such a mundane thing. Our Honda CRV, which I've been driving for years, had been hit in a grocery store parking lot, just kind of a minor accident. But my husband happened to be driving at the time, and it took weeks for it to be repaired. And the day that we went to pick it up, thinking that it would be finally fixed, was January 11th, 2013. I was already in a bad mood, and when we picked up the CRV, after weeks of running other cars and being uncomfortable driving other vehicles, I just thought, oh, it's going to feel so good to be back in my own vehicle again. We picked it up and discovered that it wasn't fixed quite right. The door didn't shut quite right. The window didn't go up and down the way it was supposed to. And my mood, which had already been pretty bad, just kind of plummeted from there. So that's what really led up to when The Only Little Prayer You Need showed up in my life. And I can tell you it was because I was in this kind of that spin cycle of anger and despair and frustration, all of the things that ego loves to stir up in our lives. And even though I knew intellectually how to get out of it, I still just couldn't get there. I was still wallowing in it. And I definitely needed something from a higher power, something outside myself, to help me, because I just couldn't do it for myself.
And so when you asked for help, what did you receive?
Well, it was really interesting because I was sitting in a car dealer parking lot while my husband went in and took care of the paperwork about returning the rental. And I just remember sitting there looking out over the sea of cars and feeling so awful and just wanting desperately to feel better. I knew that this everything that I was feeling was coming from my ego, from fear, from this awful place that didn't have to exist in my life. I just didn't have to feel that way. So I just kind of asked, you know, for something that would help, asked a higher power. And what I heard were the words, please heal my fear-based thoughts. Now, I'd like to tell you that as soon as I heard them, you know, the angels sang and the sky parted and I just, you know, felt so much better. That actually didn't happen. Actually, what happened was that as soon as I heard those words, because I had studied A Course in Miracles for so long, because I really understand what A Course in Miracles says about the existence of fear and love in our lives and the role that they play, I got it immediately that everything I was feeling was coming from my fear-based thoughts and that asking for those to be healed really was the answer. But it took a couple of hours before some kind of remarkable things started to shift and before I really started to get the full power of that prayer. It seems so simple. In fact, it even seems obvious looking back on it. But I can tell you that even after 30 years of studying A Course in Miracles, I still hadn't quite gotten that message that really what we need to do constantly, not just when we're having those no good, very bad days, but every moment, every day of our lives, is to ask for help and to build a relationship with Spirit, knowing that Spirit is always there to help us, no matter what's going on. And this prayer, I think, really helps open the door to make that possible.
There's a wonderful scene that takes place after you have received that prayer and you sit down to talk with your husband about it. And that thing that had been blame, if he hadn't been driving the car, we wouldn't have had the accident. If he'd maybe taken better care with the body shop, we wouldn't have to now go back in again, right? Who is this guy, right? And it's all his fault. Not that I would ever feel that way about my partner. That's an example, you know, from the book. But there's a scene in the in the book where that resentment shifts, and there's a beautiful to me that shows the healing power of that prayer, where you are able to sit down and talk with each other about what your fear-based thoughts are.
Right. It was such a profound moment. And what led up to that was, when I heard the prayer for the first time in that parking lot, and again, like I said, I kind of hoped that everything would be resolved right away. What happened was that when we had driven to the dealership to return the car, I had heard all sorts of rattles and vibrations in the dashboard. So I had started to think that on top of the door not closing properly, the window not going up and down properly, now we had rattles in the dashboard. And I just, you know, had gotten so angry thinking things are never going to be right. I had even more things to blame on my husband and the body shop owner. And ultimately, of course, I blamed myself for all of this. So when Bob, my husband, got back in the vehicle to drive back home, I told him, you know, we've got these vibrations in the dashboard and things have gotten even worse. And the miraculous thing was that as we drove home, we both listened very closely for those rattles and those vibrations, and they weren't there. They had just gone away. The funny thing was that when I got home, now I was even angrier in a way, because if there weren't rattles and vibrations to blame on Bob, the body shop manager, then, you know, I couldn't make them feel guilty about it, which is just such a classic example of what the ego and our fear-based thinking will do. So when I got home, that's when I started to really pay attention even more. And what I heard, the message that I got was everything in our life, every situation, every relationship, everything exists because it's an opportunity for us to come either from fear or from love. Everything in this world really is just our own perception of it. It's what's going on in our minds and what we're putting out there into the world. So the message that I got was, when I asked for my fear-based thoughts to be healed, I no longer needed those rattles in the dashboard to help me learn to move toward love. So there was no need for those rattles anymore, and they could just go away. That's what I understood once we finally got home, and that's when the power of this prayer really started to sink in, because I thought, even with all of the spiritual study and teachings over the years, I had never really gotten that piece of it. That, you know, our perception of the world certainly changes how we experience the world, but as we're healed, as our fear-based thoughts are healed, then so many things in the world around us can shift, and those things that we think are problems can just cease to exist because they're really just reflections of fear, fear-based thinking. So the scene that you're referring to really was such a lovely moment, because it was when I finally got to that understanding, then I was able to really calm down. I mean, it just, that was the part that just did heal those fear-based thoughts. And I said to Bob, you know, there's something really important that just happened here. Let's sit down and talk about this. So I tell the story in the book about how we sat at the kitchen counter and ate ruffles and carrots and together made a list of everything we could think of that we have fear-based thoughts about, which in the end was pretty much everything. You know, it's money and family and health and the future and our work, everything in our lives. We have some fear-based thinking about. And we, over about 30 minutes or 45 minutes, we just took turns going through that list, and each of us asked a higher power, asked the Holy Spirit to heal those fear-based thoughts. And I will tell you, I mean, I even get chills as I talk about it now, almost 2 years later. It was such a profound moment. It shifted everything. And I do feel like, again, it's not that we don't still have bad days or that we don't still have frustrations, but over time of using this prayer, things have shifted dramatically. And that's where I really feel like there's so much power in it, not just in the moment, not just the first time you use this prayer, but in the practice of it over time. It is, I think it's really amazing what it can do for all of us.
And it's a beautiful tool to help shift that as the fear-based thought comes up, because at least in my experience, there's always another one, right? So as it comes up, then it gives you, that prayer gives you a tool to change that reaction. oh my gosh, here comes the fear-based thought. I'm not supposed to have those. Now I'm in trouble. Oh my gosh, I messed it all up. I was doing so well. It changes that reaction then into a response. Oh, look, it's a fear-based thought. Please heal my fear-based thoughts. And it shifts the playing field.
It really does. That's such a great way to say it. I think the other thing it does too, at least for me, and I have seen this for other people as well, is it helps us to recognize fear-based thoughts. I think we are in a world that thrives, that's really addicted to fear-based thoughts, to the drama, to the energy of conflict, to holding on to grudges. We're fed that every day, and then we feed it to ourselves as well. And so many of those things we don't necessarily think about as being based in fear, but that's truly what they are based in. The Course in Miracles talks about the fact that everything comes either from fear or love. So in the book, I talk about how we can start to identify fear-based thoughts and start to identify love-based thoughts. And I think it's one of the powerful tools in this book is that even the simplicity of starting to be able to look at your thoughts, look at conversations, what you're hearing in the media, what's going on around you, to be able to just simply sort things out and say, oh, look, that's coming from fear. Oh, that's coming from love. That alone then helps us simplify what seems to be such a complex and complicated world, and to just see it from the standpoint of, wow, there's so much here that's coming from fear, and every time it comes up, I'm just going to ask, just ask for help, ask for it to be healed. That alone, I think, is so comforting because it makes this vast and complicated world a lot easier to deal with. And then, you know, of course, asking for that healing, that's, I think, at the core of everything that we want to change in this world, whether it's in our personal lives or in the world as a whole. If we look at beating ourselves up, feeling guilty about things, feeling ashamed, feeling like there's somebody that we can't forgive, wanting to find a relationship that just isn't working out, being unhappy in a current job, whatever it might be, all of those things are addressed by the fear, by this prayer. But then if you look at the global scale, everything we want to change, like famine, poverty, disease, war, conflict, lack of education, all of those things, they're also based in that same fear that each of us is feeling on a very personal level. So this prayer addresses all of it. It's like a one-size-fits-all prayer, and yet I think it's the most profound and powerful thing that we can ask for.
And there's a lot of self-judgment in there. I turned on the television, I know, rookie mistake, but I turned on the television and watched horrible news about epidemics and violence and betrayal and war and privilege being used as a weapon against people. And then commercials came on that said, you're too fat, but we can fix that. Something's wrong with you. Here's a drug for you. Don't you think your skin should look like someone 20 years younger than you actually are? And I kind of sat back from that feeling almost sick, and yet at the same time wanting to keep watching to see what the next bad thing was that was going to happen. And I think that's part of that addictive cycle, that even as we recognize it as, wow, this isn't good for me, we still feel pulled into it. And one of the cool things about this prayer is that it's an easy way, and spiritual practice kind of in general gives us tools to break that cycle. When we realize it, when we see where we're hung up, we can reach for something that just snaps us back for a second.
Right. I think that's, well, you've just really captured it there. I think it is becoming aware of how toxic all of these messages are in this world, and they really do come from that addiction to fear. I love what you said about wanting to see what's going to happen next, even though you know that it's not good for you.
Right.
You know, we all do that. That's why, you know, great literature, or what we consider great in classic literature, it's all based on drama. You know, the movies we watch, the TV shows we watch, there's always some huge issue that's got to be worked out, because we think that that's the story of life, that there's always got to be conflict and struggle and drama. That's what the ego believes, that's what the ego thrives on, and that's what it perpetuates. that's that part of us that is feels drawn to what awful thing is going to happen next. That's the ego part of us. And the ego does that because it feels fearful and scared and terrified and alone all the time. And the only way that it can really perpetuate its own existence or prove its worth is to just stir up more drama. But the other part of us is the higher self, the part that remembers that we're children of God, we're children of spirit, we are divine love, we're made of that same love that is everything, that is the only thing that really exists in this world. So what other spiritual practices and what this prayer as well can help us do is to start shifting which of those two voices we're listening to. Mm. It's so easy to listen to that ego because it's so loud, it's so demanding, and it's so reinforced by the world around us. But spiritual practice helps us, as you say, to break that cycle of listening to the ego and helps us to shift so that we're listening more to that quieter, calm, peaceful voice of the higher self and that remembrance of who we are as spirit. So, yeah, I think this prayer, like you say, it's just, it's so easy, it's quick. And when you use it almost as a mantra, you know, our fear-based thoughts too just continue to come up all day long. As I say in the book, once I started using the prayer, I felt like I was saying it constantly, you know, 24 hours a day. There are some days when I still feel that way, just because the ego and those fear-based thoughts are so persistent and we are bombarded by them. But over time, what people find is that as you use this prayer, things do start to shift. And for one thing, you start to become aware of those fear-based thoughts very quickly as they come up. And you can just immediately say, no, thank you. Please heal my fear-based thoughts, because now we can really make a choice. We can say, wow, I don't want to be embroiled in all of that drama. That's not how my life has to be. I'm going to choose this prayer instead and know that every time we do, it just opens the door a little bit more and a little bit more to a life truly of inner peace. And that's what we're really going for. The other thing I just want to say too, another comment on what you just said, that I think is so important is that you mentioned watching the news and hearing about conflict and war and disease. It's so easy to look at what's going on in this world and be totally overwhelmed by it. And that's another part of how the ego can hook us, another fear-based thought that thinks there's no way that we can ever have the world that we want. There's no way that I personally can address those enormous issues that have gone on for centuries. And that thought alone is so depressing and discouraging. It really can sap the hope in us. What happens when we use the prayer in that moment? If we're watching a story about war, for instance, and we can say, please heal my fear-based thoughts, we can know that it's an acknowledgement, we can't fix this. You know, we've been trying for years to eradicate war. Every time we do, just war, you know, pops up someplace else. And that's because it's all based in fear, and fear has been feeding it. But when we ask for our fear-based thoughts to be healed, we're saying, we can't fix this. We need a higher power to come in and fix it, because that's the only thing that can. And my asking for my own personal fear-based thoughts to be healed does contribute to world peace as well as inner peace in a way that I probably will never even know. But you just think, if enough of us around the world were asking for our fear-based thoughts to be healed, we would start to have a more peaceful world. And I think this is the only way that we're going to get there. And isn't that worth, you know, saying this prayer as many times as it takes, not only to have a more peaceful and joyful life personally, but also to know that it's making a difference out there in the world. It's literally shifting the energy.
And that, I love how that puts us back in touch with our agency, our choice, our ability to, every time something like that comes up, our ability to turn it around, whether it's to join in a collective intention for peace in the world, join in a collective intention for reversing the harm that we do for each other, that when we join that intention for healing, everything changes because of that, even if we can't see immediately how that is.
Right. And I think that idea of joining together and that collective intention is so important. And I think what this prayer does, too, is it broadens it even beyond what we can do collectively as human beings, and it brings us into a certain partnership with Spirit. I really believe that we're moving into a time where we're called to have a more open and intentional relationship with Spirit, knowing that we each have that relationship, we each have the potential for it, and that Spirit wants that relationship with us. So when we ask for our fear-based thoughts to be healed, we're really saying, again, don't just heal me. I'm asking this for all fear, because every person who does this, every request to heal fear makes a difference for the collective, as you say. And we're really asking to be in partnership with Spirit to make this happen. I think this is one of the many very exciting things about this prayer. I've seen it for myself over and over, and again for others. There was one woman, I tell her story in the book, that she's somebody I've known for a long time. She is very spiritual, has studied many spiritual texts and done a lot of spiritual practice for decades, and is very tuned in with her own guidance and with Spirit. And yet the very, very first time she said this prayer, she heard a message that said, "Finally, now we can really get some things done."
That's wonderful. Now we're going right into a break. This is Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Deborah Engel. We'll be right back with Deborah after this.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What do you say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
And now back to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and we're talking with Deborah Engel. She is the author of the new book, The Only Little Prayer You Need, The Shortest Route to a Life of Joy, Abundance, and Peace of Mind. You can find out more about Deborah and her work at DeborahEngel.com. That's DeborahEngel.com. And I'd love to hear what you think about today's show. Have you got questions? Have you tried the prayer in this book and found that it is changing your life, making a difference for you? You can connect with me always through my website, KarenHager.com. I love your emails, your comments, your guest suggestions, all that stuff. Send it my way. That's all at KarenHager.com. Now, Deb, before we went to the break, you were talking about how we are in partnership with Spirit. And I'm wondering, who are we talking to when we say, please heal my fear-based thoughts? Who is it that we're talking to?
In my mind, it's the Holy Spirit that we're talking to. And I say that because of my study of A Course in Miracles, because the Course really talks about the Holy Spirit being there as kind of our guide in a far country, because we need that sort of help. I love that description from the Course. The Holy Spirit in the Course is described as that communicator, that link between us and God, and really is described as a very constant and comforting presence, and a presence that wants us to experience that life of joy, abundance, and peace of mind. So I do talk about the fact in the book, though, that I really respect all different religious beliefs, all different faith traditions. And for some people, the language, the Holy Spirit, might be absolutely comforting and might really resonate. And for other people, it might be off-putting. So I believe, you know, if we are asking for a higher power and for that power of love to heal our fear-based thoughts, I know that prayer is going to go to the right place. It's going to be on the right track. But I really respect other people's beliefs about what we might name that spirit. In my mind, though, that Holy Spirit, whatever you call it, is that energy of love that we are all part of.
And it's, to me, as I listen to you, I'm just struck by how my prayer goes to the right place because I'm already in the right place. It's like that old commercial, you're soaking in it. Right? You're soaking in it right now. It can't help but go to the right place because we are always in that connected state. It's just that we're not always paying attention.
Exactly. That's really it. Yeah, we can't ever be separate from the love of God. We can't be separate from the Holy Spirit or from the energy, just the divine love that is all things and that we are part of. So it's the only thing that makes us think that we're separate from that is the ego, the fear-based ego. And that's why this is not about eradicating the ego, making the ego wrong. It's really just about acknowledging there is this part of us that's forgotten, that we are completely united with God, that we're united with one another. And so it's not about trying to get around the ego. It's all really just about saying this is about shifting our focus to remembering who we are as children of God, as children of Spirit, and knowing that no matter what the ego says and what this world that's based on fear tells us, we can live a very different life. We get to choose to have a life of peace and abundance and joy, even on the same planet where there are so many things going on that are not coming, that seem to not be coming from love. A Course in Miracles, one of my favorite lines in the Course is that everything is either love or a call for love. So even the fear-based thoughts, they exist, as I learned about, you know, from the rattles of the dashboard disappearing, they exist only to help us move toward love, to choose love instead. So everything is either love or a call for it. And I think that puts things in perspective right away.
And that might help with people who are resistant to the idea of calling on that higher power, because a lot of us learn that There is a higher power, and he, a white man with a beard who lives in the sky and is sitting on a cloud, he is angry with me because I haven't done a good job and I am to be punished. And so sometimes people are resistant to asking, turning to that higher power because of these old beliefs that we may have had kind of imposed on us from when we were younger.
Right. Yeah, I think that happens often. The God is seen as the other and seen as separate. And again, that really is a fear-based view of God. In the view of A Course in Miracles, we are all one. We are all part of the same energy. And so there is no separation between us and God. And in fact, that feeling of judgment or feeling that God is angry and vindictive and that he's going to punish us is something that perpetuates that belief in separation and literally just perpetuates fear. In fact, it even that's what makes us so afraid of death, for instance, because now we're going to face this angry God. And what if we've done it all wrong and we're going to be punished for eternity? So there's a whole lot of fear in that whole view of God. And when we look at a view of God instead as love, as divine love, as not a being that's going to sit in judgment of us, but really is an energy that supports us, that guides us, that comforts us, and that constantly wants us to remember the love that we are, that alone, wow, that just can shift our experience of this world in such enormous ways. You know, I think we tend to judge ourselves and judge others. Well, basically, when we're judging others, it's always because we're judging ourselves first. And that comes from fear. And if we could just even ask for the healing of that one thing alone, that would make such a huge shift in our lives and in this world, because we'd see how we are all connected. We are all part of the same whole. If I'm judging somebody else, I'm judging myself and vice versa. And why would we do that to one another when truly this peace of being, of understanding that we are part of the whole of God is available to us and can become even more consciously aware through using this prayer?
You shared a story before the break about a woman who said the prayer and heard back, oh, good, now we can really get some action going. Now we can get stuff done. How does using this prayer begin to change our lives when we activate this, when we put this into use?
Right. One of the first things that happens, and it has happened for a lot of people, they've just reported this to me, is that when they first say the prayer, they feel kind of like a what they describe as a whoosh of space. It's as though truly a door has opened, and instead of being locked in this kind of cage of fear, like the door has been flung open and all of this fresh air just flows in, all of this gentle breeze of, oh, it's going to be okay after all. There's also, I think, a certain remembrance when people first use the prayer. I've seen this over and over, because I had some little business cards printed up with the prayer on them. And over and over and over, I've seen when people just see that prayer on the business card, see those six words, please heal my fear-based thoughts, for the first time, it's almost as though they kind of take a step back. There's a pause. And you can just see in their eyes, there's a remembrance. It's like it connects with something deep inside each of us that does remember, oh, this really is the only thing that stands in our way of everything we want in life is just our fear, and we can ask for that to be healed. So once we take that first step and start using the prayer, what often happens is that there is more of a sense of comfort. There can be more of a sense of peace and possibility. There can be maybe more of an open channel to a relationship with spirit, maybe just hearing those messages or those nudges a little bit more clearly. Well, what can also happen, and this is something that I talk about quite a bit in the book because I want people to be prepared for it and to know what's going on, is that when we start using the prayer, it's very threatening to our ego because it's threatening the ego's very existence. It's the ego really knows, you know, that we are love. It's just trying to disprove that constantly. So when we start using the prayer, the ego is probably going to jump in and try to get our attention. It's going to give us messages like, that prayer doesn't work, that's silly. It's crazy. It's just a waste of time. Here, come and look at what's wrong in your life instead. It may even start to stir up more things in your life to make you frustrated or to create situations that will make you think, yeah, inner peace is just not possible, because the thing the ego will want to do most is draw you away from this prayer over and over and over again. That's why even after a couple of years of using the prayer, almost 2 years, still have fear-based thoughts show up. You know, that ego still wants to get my attention. It's just that now when that happens, I'm so equipped to be able to say, wow, look at how much it wants my attention. And again, no thank you, please heal my fear-based thoughts instead. So it's kind of a two-pronged track that people will experience often, is that there will be more peace, but things could get stirred up more along the way as well. And that's something just to be prepared for. I really advise people, once you start using the prayer, maybe start to do some journaling or keep track on a daily basis of any little shifts that you start to feel, any changes in relationships or in conversations or whatever it might be, because often those changes are very subtle and the ego will try to make you just overlook them or disavow that they have any power at all. But if you start to really look at them more closely, you'll realize that things are changing in a big way. And the more attention that you give to that, the more things will continue to change.
What do you think the ego is for? Because it sabotages us, it keeps us small, it calls us always back into fear. What do you believe, just from your experience as a spiritual teacher, why do we have that thing? Why can't we just kind of kick it to the curb?
Right. It's a great question. And again, in teaching A Course in Miracles over the years, I think that's always the deepest question and the one that I'm not sure anybody is really capable of answering. The ego is really that, in biblical terms, what we would call the fall from grace. It arose, it was created the moment that something, you know, the collective mind decided to believe in a separation from God. And that's really all it is just a belief in separation from God. Why that originally happened, how it happened, I'm not sure that anybody can explain that or ever will be able to explain it. But in this world, I think what it does is it affords us the opportunity to expand love. And that's really all that we're here for. No matter what our job is, no matter what the walk of life, no matter what relationship we're in, really our only job here in this human experience is to expand and extend God's love. In this world of form, we can do that in millions of different ways, but energetically, it's all the same thing. Just looking at ego, looking at fear, and saying, I'm going to choose love instead. And every time we do that, we are expanding and extending love. So the ego actually does us a favor as long as we can recognize what it is and we can choose love instead, because it constantly is kind of that driving force to say, no, there could be more love. There could be more love. There's a line in the Course that says, every situation properly perceived is an opportunity for growth and healing. So the ego's job is to afford us those opportunities all the time. And every time that opportunity is there we go. We have another chance to choose love and expand that.
Mm. I know that for myself, I learn more, grow more, have more insight when I have something to kind of push against, right? That my human brain, I need an either or. I need, part of the way I know what light is that I see how it is in relationship to the dark. And I wonder if that's part of what, to me, part of what's so powerful about what you've written here and part of what's so powerful about the prayer is that it gives me something to push back against, right? I'm taking a little bit of control. I'm making a decision. I'm making a choice. I'm using that free will to choose the, I'm going to say good in quotation marks, because I also have the choice to choose the not good.
Right. I think that's really true. And I think, again, that is part of this collaborative nature of the prayer, because our part of it is to choose to use it, to choose to recognize when fear is coming up in our life or when we're feeding on it, and to choose love instead. The other part of that then is when we say the prayer, when we ask for the healing, that's when we really invoke that partnership with spirit. And I think one of the most important things about the prayer, I talk about this in the book, is that if we look at a lot of the problems in our lives or in the world, you know, the first place we go in our thinking is, oh, we want to fix that. We want to do something about it. And we feel like we have the ability to do that. But often that's the ego thriving on wanting to be useful and wanting to fix things. But along the way, it'll probably sabotage things too, so that there's another problem to be fixed. What the prayer does is it says, I have the choice to choose either fear or love. And I recognize that I can't fix things with the same mind of fear, with the same thought of fear that created it. So I need to ask and invoke a higher power to come in and help. I think this is the reason why we do continue to have so many problems in this world, is because ultimately we are relying on our ego needs to fix ourselves and things and other people to try to solve problems. But we're not asking for that help from a higher power. And that's where the healing, the comfort, those new and innovative ideas, you know, the things that can really change things in a way that we could never even dream possible, those come from a higher power. They don't come from us. They come from that connection with Source. And so this prayer helps us to shift so that we have that open channel of that love and that healing and those new ideas that truly can shift things in a way that we could never have created otherwise.
You've said, I know, that we're at a time on the planet where we need to kind of skip ahead a little bit, skip some of the wandering around, get straight back to that remembering of, that understanding of what you're just saying, our connection with the divine, remembering why we're here. And I'm wondering why it is that you feel that now is the time, that all I see in my work as well, that shift in people, that hunger in people, that desire to jump ahead. This is an important time. Awareness is growing. I'm wondering why you feel that is.
I think it is a kind of a collective feeling of energy that's shifting. Certainly, if you look around in the world right now and you look at all of the problems and how critical they are and how they seem to keep escalating, I think there is a certain urgency. There's a certain feeling of, if we're going to change things, it needs to happen pretty soon, because we do have a lot of destructive power in our hands. Our egos do. Our fears do. And I think the other part of it, too, is just that I think so many people are tired of living with fear and in fear because of things like A Course in Miracles, spiritual practices, just the growth over the past 40 or 50 years of understanding that we do have a personal relationship with spirit, that we do have the power to build that relationship and to make a difference by partnering with spirit. As that understanding and that belief has grown, I think it's really put us in a position where we realize we can make a difference. This is not, you know, our governments are not going to save us. Our schools are not necessarily going to save us. Our churches are not going to save us. All of those things are just like us. They can be run by fear or they can be run by love. But what's really going to make a difference is each of us individually choosing love and saying the collective power of that, that's going to shift things for good. So I think it's partly just a fatigue. I think what I sense in people is just a kind of a collective fatigue, what some a woman that has been a mentor to me calls world weariness. Mm. That, you know, you go through life and you see all of these problems that just don't seem to be getting any better. And I think that's what reminds us, wow, there's this incredible untapped resource that we haven't tapped into it. You know, we haven't asked for help and been open to receiving it in the way that we could. We actually talked about this at one of my Course in Miracles classes a couple of weeks ago. Again, if we look at all of the world problems, they can seem so daunting, so vast, and so huge. How could we possibly ever address those? Well, we can't. They are vast and daunting, or they seem to be. But when you realize that they're just fear and that love just shines away fear, and you think of the vastness of spirit and all of those resources that we can tap into, that really, then you start to see how small even though, you know, things like war and famine and disease seem so huge, if we can look at the bigger resources of love available to us, there's nothing we can't do. And I know that that sounds very, very idealistic and naive and like positive thinking, but I truly believe that is the path that we're on. And that the prayer, along with many, many other things, you know, there's so many things out there, so many tools available. But I do think that the prayer kind of cuts through everything and gets us straight to that relationship where things can really start to shift.
You've talked in the book a little bit about why the specific words of the prayer, why the wording is so important. And I'm especially struck by the pleas. And I wonder, can you say a little bit about why the pleas is so important?
Sure. I think, well, this is part of my own learning and education over the years. At one time, I really thought about spirit guides, about beings of light as being so enlightened and so far beyond us in their understanding that, you know, there wouldn't be any emotions attached or they wouldn't really have feelings, you know, like we have feelings. But I've learned over the years through different interactions with spirit that the same things that we want, acknowledgement, appreciation, trust, those dynamics of energy, those play out with beings on all levels. You know, again, we're all connected. We're all part of the same energy and the same love. So that respect that we show to each other as human beings and that's so important to us, that's also very important on the collective level as well. So saying please is just, it is that sign of respect. It's opening the door and saying, I respect you as spirit, and I'm not going to take this for granted, take you for granted, or just assume that you're going to help me out here. I really want to have a relationship with you. It is that expression of gratitude that I think is really, really important. I also say in the book that because we are saying please a lot, please heal my fear-based thoughts, it is very important to say thank you.
Yes.
I actually had an experience a few years ago where I kind of was having another bad day. This was at a time when I was just kind of upset about something, and I really had a tantrum with my own personal spirit guides. And before too long, learned that, you know, they just were not real happy with me because I'd been upset with them. I was treating them kind of like somebody who's trying to give you a gift and you keep denying the gift or you keep saying it's not good enough or no, I'm not going to take it. You know, find me something else. If you were doing that to another person, eventually they would just stop giving you gifts. They'd say, well, we're going to go find somebody else to help. And I think that same dynamic is true with spirit guides, with all of the help that's available to us. So it's very important to be respectful and to enter into that relationship with that sense of partnership.
Can you share with the listeners your website and what people can find there, how we can get our hands on the book?
Absolutely. The book is available everywhere, online sellers, bookstores, every place that books are sold. And you can find more information about the book on my website, DeborahEngle.com. So that's DeborahEngle.com. I do have some information there too about upcoming events. People can sign up for my newsletter so that I can send out information about events. I don't send out things very frequently, but I do let people know when things are coming up. And I also just posted a video on my site just this morning that I am so excited to share with everyone. It's a video of people around the world saying the prayer, and then the message of the book and the prayer kind of woven through the video. Just posted that this morning, so if you'd like to go to the site and take a look at that, that would be wonderful. I'm also hoping people will really share that video because it's a wonderful way, another wonderful tool to get the word of this prayer out there and spread the message to people who really need it. So,
oh, that's wonderful, and it takes that idea that we're all by ourselves struggling against a universe that doesn't care about us and is punishing us. It takes that idea and turns it on his head. Look at these voices. Look at these faces. Listen to this prayer and join it. Wonderful stuff. Deborah, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you. That is Deborah Engel. Her new book is The Only Little Prayer You Need, The Shortest Route to a Life of Joy, Abundance, and Peace of Mind. You can find out more about Deb and her work at DeborahEngel.com. That's DeborahEngel.com. And you can also find out more about me, what's going on in my world, upcoming classes and events, all that good stuff, and give me your feedback about the show, won't you? I'm at KarenHager.com. My email address is Karen@KarenHager.com. And thank you for listening today. Together, we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.